Welcome to another episode of the Autonomous Ask the Expert podcast. I am Chris, Technology Manager at the Autonomous. As you might know, we are an open platform bringing together global players in autonomous mobility to collaboratively work on the biggest challenges in our domain. Today is the first time we have two guests from the same company. The company I'm talking about is Infineon. Infineon is a world leader in automotive semiconductors with headquarters in Munich, in Germany, and a very nice open campus, by the way. In our domain, Infineon is well known for its safety-focused products, like, for example, the famous Aurix SoC. Furthermore, Infineon is also a valuable member of the Autonomous Innovation Stream, who recently took the lead of our second and brand new working group, Safety of Embedded AI. We will dive into this exciting topic in a few moments. I would like to start by introducing you to Thomas Schneid. Thomas has around 30 years of experience in the automotive industry and has been with Infineon for about 20 years. He is Senior Director for Software, Partner and Ecosystem Management. Thomas, nice to talk to you today.
Chris, hi, it's a pleasure to be here and being able to talk with you about this very interesting topic.
Our second guest today is Jürgen Schäfer. Jürgen is a senior principal for system architecture and applications at Infineon, where he has been working for more than 20 years. Welcome to our podcast today, Jürgen.
Thanks, Chris. I'm looking forward to this very interesting talk about this very interesting topic.
If you have been listening to our early episodes, you might know that I like to start with a very easy question. And since we have guests from Munich today, and hey, it's finally back. Oktoberfest is happening again this year. My first question is, how happy are you about this, Thomas?
I'm super excited, to be honest. After that long period of quiet time and less interactivity, being a Munich native, it's extremely thrilling to see that people come back to enjoy a lifetime. And I think this year will be, again, a highlight for our international customers and also guests coming to Munich.
What about you, Jürgen? Are you planning to go there this year?
Of course, after 2 years break, everyone in Munich is looking forward to the Oktoberfest.
Okay, that's great to hear. Maybe I find, you know, a reason, something like a short meeting, yeah, to come to Munich. Let's see.
But you better hurry up, because I can tell you logistics will be not the most easiest one this year.
Yeah, I can guess so, yeah. All right, so let's come to the little bit more serious questions. Our audience might know that the Autonomous was initiated by TT Tech Auto. The relationship between Infineon and TT Tech Auto is a close one. Thomas, can you tell me a few words about this long-term cooperation between TT Tech Auto and Infineon?
Yes, certainly. I mean, TT Tech Auto, we know since a very long period of time as a key safety expert in the market in general, and also with a specific focus to automotive. And with this, we were working together successfully a long period, because it matches very well with our company strategy as dependability player. So everything which is difficult to be achieved in terms of safety, security, reliability of products is a focus. And we see the same on the TT Tech side as a strategy focus, and that brought us together. Specifically now, with this challenge in the AV market, this application has very specific requirements. We see really a sweet spot working together there. And therefore, as well, we have so much trust also in the capability of this company. That was a motivation also for us to invest into our partner, which is, by the way, also a strategic premium partner for Infineon. We invested into TT Tech Auto to even make the link between stronger.
So if it wouldn't be Infineon, maybe it wouldn't be the Autonomous today. So I think there's a very strong common background. As you might know, Thomas, the Autonomous is targeting the facilitation of safe SAE Level 4 systems for autonomous vehicles. From a semiconductor's point of view, where do you see the biggest technical challenges in that context? And what does this mean for your company's strategy?
This is quite a broad question. I try to slice it into certain aspects. So number one, AI is in the minds of our customers in many cases, but specifically when it comes to AD, because that application is more challenging to manage. And therefore, AI specifically seems to be the right answer to manage the challenge from a computation point of view. Auto is becoming more and more, the car is becoming more a consumer application, but we know that this goes beyond the requirements of a consumer product, we also need to have the safety of this product, because this is extremely important to have the acceptance level also of the customers and of the society, specifically when it comes to AD. And therefore, we know as a specialist in the real-time control segment in automotive that AI computing has this computation scalability, but we need to have also the high availability and the robustness of safety critical function at any time. And this we really see as a motivation for us as a company to contribute to this challenge and to bring in our solutions from hardware side and software side and the whole philosophy behind what we call our dependability philosophy to manage this. Unfortunately, AD has not only this topic of computation and high integration of computation, there is also this element that high integration have the risk of a higher security vulnerability and failure risk. This is something which looks like a contradiction, because yes, we need to integrate more and more to achieve this computation scalability, but somehow we need to be able to manage also the robustness of the system behind. And this is something where we can bring in our experience out of the real-time domain, as I said, where this was always more or less the foundation of our capability. And therefore, we are using our dependability philosophy to address the issues behind.
That sounds very interesting, Thomas. Jürgen, what is your take on this? Which challenges do you see? And what does this mean for your daily work?
Yes, as Thomas already mentioned, AI, it's a key technology to enable a safe autonomous driving. So with AI-based approaches, first of all, there are solutions with higher accuracy, higher efficiency compared to the classical techniques based on linear and heuristic approaches. Higher accuracy gives generally an opportunity to get a higher level of dependability and availability. So there are approaches like nonlinear optimization of linear controllers for trajectory planning and controlling, or to improve the model predictive control approaches based on nonlinear models based on deep learning algorithms. But this new techniques using in safe autonomous driving has to make rely safe and dependable. This is the challenge to make the next step in the combination of next level of safe hardware, like the next generation of Oryx. And from our perspective, using AI approaches in safety critical systems, it is really needed to consider the end-to-end view. That means looking from the system level and architecture level down to the hardware level and define and select the right approaches on hardware level, on algorithm level, on system integration level, and with the related system architecture. And therefore, we see it as an approach which the overall value chain has to contribute. It's not solvable by a single player, like from our point of view, a semiconductor supplier. We can only support and provide solutions to find an approach for a safe autonomous driving system. But as you know, there is no metrics like the ASIL-D from the ISO and so on.
Jürgen, certain companies are claiming to already have level 4 features close to series deployment. Do you consider the currently available technology safe enough to let the drivers activate those L4 features?
Yes, first of all, a safe level 4 system, it's a question of system architecture. However, to solve the dependability challenge by a pure architecture approach might be not the best choice to get the highest energy efficiency in the system, especially if you go from a level 3 system to level 4, where the urban environment is considered. So therefore, from my point of view, the system architecture approaches which already in development or on prototype state can be enhanced concerning accuracy and energy efficiency by AI-based methods, especially for the planning and the controlling part. So therefore, it's like I mentioned some minutes ago, it's not a question to solve it with one dedicated measure like the system architecture to get the challenges to get highest energy efficiency in the context of electrified autonomous driving. There is, from our point of view, a lot of improvement possible, especially for the short-time planning and the controlling path. And there we see the natural step behind, for example, linear approaches like the Kalman filter. The next logical or mathematical consequence are deep learning methods with all their challenges to get it safe. So there is not only one answer to this challenging question, there is a sequence of answers to get a safe level four system, which will be drive hopefully in some years on the streets.
I think the way you went down here with your answer concerning the graphical algorithms, I think we'll come to that in a couple of moments, because I think this is what you're somehow trying to address with the new working group that I already teased at the beginning of this interview. But I would like to continue with Thomas with another question. So unfortunately, since autonomous vehicles, automated driving is a very competitive sector, we sometimes hear that collaboration might reduce technology advantages for the parties contributing to such a collaboration, especially from OEMs. Do you understand this argument? What do you think about collaboration in the AV space in general, especially in the context of safety?
Yeah, Chris, this is a very good point, because I think we are used from the tech industry that we have this bold innovators which go forward and have the stamina and also dare to take risk and quickly introduce new innovations to the market. But we think, especially with our mindset and philosophy at Infineon, that to bring successfully AD and AV to the market, it takes more. It has to do with convincing the entire society of that application and also the robustness and the reliability of such a feature in the new smart car environment. And therefore, we definitely don't see that collaboration is a contradiction to competitiveness in the market. We know it from our experience in safety applications that you need to have a strong ecosystem working together with specialists at the end to manage and to master the challenges coming from these requirements. And therefore, we see really a great sense in working together where it's useful, which helps us maybe to define even faster, reliable solutions based on all our joint experience, and also share the risk within the industry. And if I just make one comparison in the avionics industry, I think also, not only innovation bringing us to where we are today, but also the combination with all the safety environment, which at the end made the application and the solution acceptable for us as customer. Then there's another aspect I want to mention, and this is coming more and more also into the minds of the big OEMs driving smart cars. We see that we have a history in the automotive market for software development, which was more a kind of black box development that, yes, the big guys were joining and somehow defining standards like AutoSub, but in reality, it was more about black box development. So the IP was more or less sealed and each player had a certain way of driving their solutions. And we have some common sense in the industry now, in the automotive industry, that this is maybe not the future way of working for smart cars. And the industry is opening and proposing to consider more white box development. And this, again, is all about collaboration at the end, that a network of partners are working together with OEMs at the end to develop solutions which are innovative and safe and reliable. And I mean, the experience from the smartphone market, where innovation was more or less pretty much supported by white box development. And now we have on top this issue of also managing the safety behind. I think this should be even more an argument why we should cooperate, as safety is such a crucial element. And at the end, I mean, in the workgroup, this is not really our target to define standards, but we should strive for standards. So we definitely, as Infineon, we don't see this as a contradiction, rather really the opposite.
Wow, that was a nice answer, Thomas. And also, I really liked your comparisons you made with avionics and the mobile phone sector. I think this gives us and our audience quite some insights. Thank you for that. Let's come back to this topic of AI and machine learning. During the introduction, I already mentioned this strong safety focus in Infineon, and you were also talking about this, Thomas. Considering the increasing amount of artificial intelligence, neural networks, machine learning in an automotive system, the traceability and understandability of the output of such components might significantly decrease, especially, you know, if something happens, people might ask, why did it behave like it did? My question to you, Jürgen, is what does this mean when it comes to safety of the system, and how do you react to this change in our industry?
Yes, so there are two sides. So one side, as I already mentioned, the AI methods, what you mentioned, deep learning, neural networks, machine learning approaches increase accuracy on the functional side, which give the opportunity to reduce safety margins in the system. So this ends most properly in a higher energy efficiency. As you mentioned, due to the mathematical nature of this kind of AI algorithms, there are no metrics like code coverage or the ASIL levels available where you can use, for example, a simple PI or a PID controller. So therefore, there has to be, in the context of autonomous driving, scenario-specific safety concepts defined. So this concept will be most properly based on the usual approach, redundancy and diversity, what we use on architecture level quite heavily as well. So what means redundancy or diversity on algorithm level? So on the one side, with a diverse approach to monitor or to supervise an AI algorithm like a neural network by a simple heuristics, where you give the opportunity to use on the one hand in the, let's say, normal working mode, the accuracy and the energy efficiency, what I mentioned in a long-term perspective, and for this maybe critical situation where the mathematical limitations of machine learning and deep learning algorithms are coming, some well-known and well-proven heuristics can take over and keep the system always under safe consideration. Another approach is a little bit, let's call it more fancy. You might be think that one machine learning algorithm supervises another, for example, deep learning algorithms, and this both natures of their specific implementation and parameterization monitor one to the other, and overall it brings the safety level and fulfills the safety requirements what, for example, short time planning is requiring. In the end, methods are well known based on redundancy and diversity, but use it on algorithm level and with the clear goal to combine the opportunity of AI-based methods in combination with well-established safety mechanisms and heuristics and linear approaches to get the system safe. But as I mentioned 2 minutes ago, there is no, let's say, kind of metric where you can have a black box. There is a kind of white box approach as well. The scenarios has been clearly defined, and under this consideration, the system defined by the scenarios can be, hypothetically spoken, can be developed as a kind of safe or as a safe system.
All right, thanks for your insights here, Jürgen. In the beginning of our episode today, I already teased it that we are about to kick off a new working group, which will be called Safety of Embedded AI. This working group will be hosted by The Autonomous and will be led by Infineon. Jürgen, can you please tell us a little bit more about the scope of this working group? And especially also going to the topic of who will be the target group, which companies, institutions would be the ideal members here?
Okay, let's start with the target group. I already mentioned we from Infineon side, we see that the use of AI methods in a safe autonomous system, the contribution of the overall automotive value chain is needed. That means the view from OEM, tier one, semiconductor industry, software industry, research institutes, and academics are needed. So the goal of the working group is first of all to make a technical definition what means safe embedded AI. So embedded AI, it's a terminology used in several industries, means okay to use AI methods which are not interact with a kind of cloud. Everything it's computed locally on this autonomous driving system itself. So in the next step, it's to define best practices for a development process of this safe embedded AI. What might be the scenarios and what might be the criteria to verify and test the scenarios that AI approaches can be considered as safe. Based on that results to define guidelines for development of a system which used embedded AI under a safety consideration. In the end, it's kind of a reference solutions. Define, as I mentioned, some algorithmic recommendation, for example, the combination of an AI algorithm with an heuristic or the combination, it's a kind of diversity, two kind of AI-based solution like a deep learning and a machine learning algorithms, which monitors one to the other. So therefore, it's to define kind of reference solution, guidelines and definitions that AI can be used in the future to develop safe autonomous systems.
That sounds really interesting, Jürgen. Thank you. Thomas, you are the main sponsor and driver behind this new working group. Why did you decide to go for this activity?
Chris, this is really a good question. To be honest, the starting point was very weird because I think many know the reputation of Infineon in the automotive market. We are more or less the zero defect company. So we are extremely far away from what is considered to be accuracy in the area of AI at the edge, where we have been involved in the embedded segment in the newer time. And I saw such a discrepancy and contradiction between these two fields that I felt that this is really a cool challenge for us to get these two sides together and from the area where we come and use the strength we have and our philosophy and have a discussion with other people who come from the other side who see AI as the great new opportunity for slicing the elephant of computation and the limitation of normal control algorithms with AI, but we knew getting these two things together, there are not many companies in the world who can say that they have fully managed this already. And therefore, we saw that really as an opportunity for us. And Chris, as you know, with the discussions we had together, my feeling is still today that in this environment, what we are planning with our work group, this is a fantastic combination of the two sides. And therefore, I'm also so convinced of this. And I'm really happy that we have to gather this opportunity. So I'm very grateful about it, actually.
Me too, Thomas. Dear listeners, in case you are now interested in learning more about this new working group and especially how you can join, please do not hesitate to contact me. Jürgen and I will be happy to share more details about the scope, the timeline, and the membership model with you. There's actually one recurring question that I like to ask our guests because it is a question that has been keeping myself busy during the early years of my career. Thomas, if you were 18 and you had just finished school, which direction would you go? Which technical or commercial field would you study? Which skill do you think will be needed in the upcoming years?
Chris, this is some time ago, so I will try my best to scope this actually. But honestly speaking, I started some time ago to work for automotive, but I really have to say with this history, I think there was never ever a better time to work for automotive or in the automotive space, because in the meantime, I really see that the modern, smart and electrically driven car is today and will be in the future really a sexy product. that was never in the minds of the people in the early stages or longer ago, where this was more or less a mechanical product. Today, it's a super cool, innovative product, which is driven by the dynamics of software and is scaling a lot in terms of capability at the moment. So I would like to be in this environment, especially here in our territory in Europe, where most of the key players are, and also where all the tech giants are coming to at the moment. So the big guys are looking to Europe at the moment. I think this is the perfect place to be in and try to be part of it. So I think as a young guy, I would be really happy to work in that. And in line with what I said before, we also know that a car is not a smartphone. So I said already, maybe it's a little bit more like an airplane if we combine this. But the combination of everything, and as a young person starting, trying to understand really the foundation of AD technology, so what is behind of that as a starting point, and then helping to define the future smart cars. And there are so many dimensions also, because this product has so many capabilities. I think this is really a cool thing. So if I would be young and I would start, I think this would be something I would be dreaming of. And also what I said before, it's not only a technology product, but it's also to master this product in terms of reliability and make it accepted by people. I think it's a cool challenge to master this machinery and get it done and define new products out of that. So from my point of view, if you start in the technical disciplines at the moment, whether this is hardware or software, many young people think about software, but don't underestimate the impact of hardware to really understand the root cause of the technology and the foundation of the technology. So there are really multiple ways to develop in a career in our industry. And there are multiple ways to get from the technical level also to the commercial parts of it. So I can speak at least out of my experience. I was starting as a technical engineer, as a field application engineer in the semiconductor industry, and moved since a longer time into the management career and in the business aspects. But nevertheless, I think in this industry, you have multiple options as young engineers and ambitious people. The only thing which you need, and I'm absolutely convinced of that, is you need to embrace change as your nature, and you need to consider that as the only constant element in life in this industry. Because we have so much change going on at the moment, this is something which is driving you. If you are such kind of character and person, I think you're very well prepared for automotive.
If I would be 18, I would go to university and study something automotive related now, I think.
So I achieved my mission.
Yeah, but it's too late already. Yeah, so but maybe in our audience, we might have motivated young engineers to go down that road. Jürgen, what's your take on this? What would you recommend to our young listeners?
Yes, first of all, you have to like the discipline of your study. So without any passion, it's not possible to drive innovation and to work on leading edge technologies. With my today experience, I would select a field where I get the opportunity to work interdisciplinary. That means to get a good background about software and hardware. If you, as Thomas already mentioned, looking to autonomous driving or to avionic, there is always the interaction between the real world and the digital world. So from my point of view, this is really a key differentiator of these two industries, and especially the changes in the automotive industry. It goes more from a real world to a digital world, but it's definitely very, very helpful to have solid knowledge about hardware and what are the opportunities, what hardware can give, and what are the limitations what hardware has. So therefore, I would look to a study where I get a very, very good knowledge about software and hardware, because from my point of view, this is a very, very good base to work in the next years in the field of autonomous driving.
Thank you, Jürgen. Also very interesting aspects you're mentioning. My last question for the day is for Thomas. Thomas, you mentioned you have very long experience in the automotive industry and you have been working as a manager for quite some years. My question is, what would you recommend managers in general to put their priorities on? What are the priorities they need to have their companies focus on in the upcoming years?
I think as industry leaders in this, we have to think of the acceptance of AV in the wider society. I think this is really a crucial element for the success of our whole industry, whether that's a semiconductor or on the car side. If we want to win with AV and smart cars, we have to have in mind what people really think and what they believe. And I think sometimes we are so enthusiastic about our capability of innovation that we just forget about the larger environment and the concerns also of the people. So I think this we need to have in mind. This is important. We need to convince the market because smart cars is a young product which is developing quite fast at the moment. And therefore, I think collaborating to drive together robust products and at the end strive for high standards as a benchmark between us is a good thing. We have learned this in automotive over a long period of time, and I think this still applies for the today's or the new challenges we have at the moment. And I'm also convinced that this gives us still enough room for differentiation, because if we have a solid base, I think on top we can do much more, and a smart car delivers us endless opportunities to develop new solutions.
Thomas, Jürgen, our podcast episode is actually already coming to an end. Thank you very much for these insights and allowing us to speak at what's coming soon with the second working group. It has been a pleasure talking to you again today. Thank you also to all of you who listened today. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Thomas and Jürgen. If you have any suggestions for our Ask the Expert format or questions for our next episodes, or you want to learn more about our working groups, like the one Jürgen presented today, please reach out to us via contact form on the website or directly via email through contact@theautonomous.com. Stay tuned for our next episodes. Bye-bye.